This is Open Mic Live. Let's go! Welcome to this week's episode. We have a very special guest coming. Welcome back, everybody, and thank you for joining me on this week's episode of Open Mic Live, starting a very special holiday series I'm calling the Small Business Summit. Over the next few episodes, we'll be shining a spotlight on the incredible women shaping Luxembourg's small business scene. These are innovators, dreamers, and doers who've taken bold steps to turn their passions into professions, building businesses that truly make a difference in our community. In today's episode, you're going to learn about ArtKit. This is a creative project founded by artist Maria Fokina and special educator Amina Ait. Their workshops blend art, movement, and mindfulness to create a supportive and calming environment for self-expression. What began as a program for children has grown to include families and adults offering tools to relax, connect, and find creative joy. ArtKit's vision is to foster a space where creativity supports emotional well-being and brings people together. Next to her, we also have Chanel Gresham. Chanel is a relaxation trainer and a pedagogue qualified to teach autogenic training and meditation. Autogenic training is a powerful relaxation technique that reduces stress by encouraging individuals to focus on calming sensations and using self-suggestions. This method fosters a serene mental state, significantly enhancing overall mental and physical health. She specializes in empowering teenagers with neurodivergent minds, providing them with essential tools to navigate the complexities of social interactions, academic demands, and the pressures of social media. Last but not least, we also have Amanda Wakefield. As a high-conflict relationship recovery and resilience coach, Amanda transforms the lives of professionals navigating challenging separations. Drawing from her own journey through two high-conflict relationships and more than 25 years of a career in asset management, she now guides others to rebuild their confidence while maintaining their career momentum. Amanda has both certification and accreditation, leading to her current role on the core team of the Benelux Association for Coaching. Believing in making impact accessible, she also provides pro bono coaching for students in need. Together, we'll explore what it takes to start and sustain a small business in Luxembourg, from finding inspiration to navigating practical hurdles. Whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur or just love to hear stories of resilience and creativity, this episode has something for you. Make sure to look in the show notes in all streaming platforms for special offers exclusively for Open Mic Live listeners. So grab a cup of coffee, settle in, and let's dive into these amazing stories. Welcome to Open Mic Live.
Thank you
for having us.
I'm very excited to meet you and also to see all of the groups that have formed in real life. So today with us we have Maria, Chanel and Amanda, who are going to talk to us about their small businesses. They also created some offers for our listeners that we're going to link down below. And I'll start with Maria. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
How are you doing?
I'm very excited. It's the first time I've had this opportunity to talk to a broader audience in Luxembourg, and I'm very happy.
Very nice. Very nice to have you on board. And you created ArtKit.
Right.
When did you create that?
This summer, actually. I'm very new to entrepreneurship, and I'm going through all these steps. So, yeah, it started this summer.
And what was the inspiration behind it? Because I know that raising young families, especially in Luxembourg, when you're away from your original country, can be challenging. Was this something that drove you?
Yeah, actually, the first was my passion to art and my love, my really good relationships with any kids. Because I think as an artist, and many artists keep this child inside when they grow up, so I kind of connect with children very easily. Mm-hmm. And I noticed here that there's so many expats in Luxembourg and so many come with children who need to really get into all this new environment, learn languages, so they have mm-hmm. so much on their shoulders when yeah. they are so young. And I wanted to create this really friendly atmosphere for them to just make something for fun, not for evaluation, to relax, to learn a bit more about themselves, about their emotions, and maybe also to speak to them in their languages, because mm-hmm. we have a lot of expat kids, and me and my partner, we speak together 8 languages in total, so we can kind of adapt.
Yeah.
So that was the purpose. But then we realized that, like, adults in Luxembourg need this too, because they overwork, they burn out, they need some really simple activities just for fun, for staying in the process.
Very nice. And art is a universal language, as they say.
Right, it's true, completely. It is a universal language.
Very good. And now we're going to introduce two ladies who are actually balancing each other out, one with relaxation and one with guiding high conflict separation. So I'm going to say welcome to Amanda.
Hello, thank you for inviting me here.
Of course, with pleasure. So high conflict separations, that can mean a lot of things. And I will ask you exactly what type of high conflict separations you're leading, because I think it's such a thing that people sometimes avoid when they need to have a difficult conversation and they are adverse towards approaching the person. So sometimes to have somebody to guide you through it could be very, very useful, I can imagine. And your history is working in the corporate world.
Indeed, yes, it is, yeah.
So then you made the switch. What was the trigger to, in your own words, retrain yourself?
So I'm a lady in my 50s, and the corporate world is quite challenging, should we say. And I was given the opportunity to retrain myself. And I did some deep dive inside of myself with some holistic career coaching. Mm-hmm. And we came up with who I am today. I re-emerged myself. I think it's quite important for ladies to recognise that we do live many seasons of our lives. And not only to live those seasons, but to accept them and to embody them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of my reason for my re-emerging myself.
Wow, that's very interesting. And when you talk about seasons, people can get lost into the season that they're in right now, and then it kind of ends abruptly, and then you're lost. So what gives you the perspective of realizing, okay, this is the season that I'm in right now, it will come to an end, I need to prepare myself?
A lot of my work is based on your values, and to get it really quite quickly, when you're young, your values are perhaps for your career, to have a family, and to go in that direction. And then when you reach a little bit older, perhaps your direction is a little bit different. You want to follow your passions. And then as you get a little bit older, perhaps your values go towards your health.
Mm-hmm.
So you do evolve naturally through all those different values, and to be open to evolving. Because quite often people go, but it's part of me. Yes, it is. And you are still embodying those values, except perhaps some are more prominent now and others are less prominent, and they evolve and ebb and flow, and to accept that ebb and flow that happens in your life.
Yeah.
And to not, when you don't accept the ebbs and flows of life, that's when you can have conflict issues and you react, and that's when we can have issues in our lives.
I understand, and thank you for elaborating on this and also painting the bigger picture. So we'll come back to this in a little bit. So we go from high conflict separation to relaxation. So
yes.
I'm saying welcome to Chanel.
How are you? Thank you very much. I'm very good. Thank you for having me here today. It's very important, I think, to, you know, get people on board with a holistic approach, which mm-hmm. is basically what I'm doing, and tapping into a little bit of Amanda's speaking about self-empowerment and where we are in life. So equally, I set up this business of relaxation trainer, and actually it's I'm focusing on autogenic training.
Yeah.
Which is a training trying to reduce stress. So I myself came, I had 2 children, both neurodivergent children. I probably am myself neurodivergent, but I didn't know, and I still haven't been tested, but having the genes, I guess, seeing in my children, go figure. Mm-hmm. I went on this adventure, I would say, because of the challenges I had, and coming back to, we are in a season of life. I myself is mid-50s, and I realized that I was struggling immensely with navigating my children's life and their challenges. Mm-hmm. So I myself had to kind of have help or get help. So I was looking into holistic approaches for myself, and got onto autogenous training and meditation. But I bit myself onto autogenous training because it's such an easy technique. It's probably the most powerful technique in Western society or Western countries, equally to the Eastern meditation. But because it's an easy technique with phrases, mm-hmm. kind of get ourselves into a hypnotic consciousness, we can deal with especially stress symptoms in that state of mind.
Yeah.
And the reason for the stress level, so after COVID, not just with myself, of course, having the challenges in life, but also having teenagers mm-hmm. Today, and after COVID, we could see an increase, incredible and frightening increase in mental health in teenagers.
Yep.
So I decided to focus on teenagers, but also neurodivergent teenagers, because teenagers, it's a very challenged state of
I was going to say, being a teenager alone is very difficult
yes,
to navigate. And
exactly.
They were sort of robbed out of these 2 years of crucial development during COVID. So
yes.
What effect do you see now?
So, yes, exactly. So the effect I see in my teenage clients are really the fact of mostly anxiety, but anxiety which comes from not being able to socialize. In that period of time, not because, yes, I'm a parent, but I recognize our teenagers are not coming to us when they have problems. Mm-hmm. They actually go to their peers.
Yeah.
But in that whole period of time, the teenagers had no one to reach out to, so
yes.
They had to cope for themselves. But equally coping with themselves, so the brain is not fully developed before we are 25 years of age, or mm-hmm. sometimes earlier, sometimes later. So they don't have the mechanism to actually help themselves in that matter.
Yeah.
So not being able to reach out to peers, that of course lead to many thoughts and emotions which they couldn't cope with. So through autogenous training, we can kind of peel off these layers, like peeling an onion, basically, mm-hmm. and then discover in your consciousness what is the underlying aspect of anxiety or exhaustion, frustrations, overwhelmed with everything.
Yeah.
That's most teenagers are coming. I'm so overwhelmed with everything, mostly also school.
And it's
related.
Hard to also put it into words what... What is actually overwhelming you?
Yes, so yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So when you are in this autogenic state of mind, you actually get a completely new perspective of life, of your thoughts, and suddenly it just occurs to you, oh my God, I have doing this wrong all the time. Some client says to me, why didn't I come up with this? I don't know what you do, Chanel, but I just have this feeling I have clarity,
yeah,
complete clarity to how I can, you know, go on with life.
Very good.
So
there is clearly a need for this service.
I'm very passionate about what I do, but for me, it was a lifesaver. And
yeah.
I hear that from my clients as well. Clients come for different challenges
mm-hmm.
in life, but the red thread throughout what my client's saying is it is a life changer for
yeah.
them in whatever aspect we're seeing it. Yes.
Very good. So we're going to go into the specific topics a little bit more, but I think what is very interesting about this group is that you have started your businesses at different times and for different reasons. we have a lot of listeners who want to learn about your experience. And what were the steps that you had to take? Because if I want to start a business, who do I call? Like, now I'm going to call you. But before that, I didn't know. So administrative steps, what were some of the challenges that you saw? And perhaps we can start with you, Amanda, because maybe Maria will tell us about her recent experience. However, what were the steps initially that you took? In a lot of the, especially small businesses, the stigma is that you're not as qualified as a big corporation or a big company. So I want to demystify this a little bit, that you don't all have the proper training. And sometimes it's a lot more challenging to acquire these as a small business.
Yeah. So first and foremost, to make sure you have the qualifications in your niche, whatever that is that you need. And I'm a freelancer, so for me it's quite easy on the administrative side. And I don't think it's very difficult as long as you have the passion. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's quite important that whatever business you set up, you have to have a passion for it, because you have to live it when you're setting it up 24/7. And if it's only a sort of, it'd be nice, yeah, it's not going to work. You have to be fully invested and fully passionate about it. Mm-hmm. So that when somebody asks you, it flows. You know, when you're back in the corporate world and you were doing a presentation, how many times did you go over that piece of paper to make sure you understood everything through and through? That's because it's not quite your passion. It's somebody else's passion that you're working for. Mm-hmm. So follow your dreams, follow your passions. And there's people out there that can help you find whatever that is out. And then have one very, very big word of advice is move, take the action. Because if you don't take the action, nothing's going to happen. It's just going to remain as a dream in your head. So find your passion, get the qualifications that you need, and they'll come easily because it is your passion, and you'll find your way to find it.
Yeah.
And then three is move and do it.
Move and do it.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. So, Maria, how did you start moving and doing it?
Well, I don't know where to start, honestly, because my road in Luxembourg was very bumpy. I moved right before COVID started for the beginning.
Yeah.
And I graduated art school, but I also have a bachelor in journalism. So I kind of bet that I would find something in journalism when I just came. But then, learning about all these hundreds of languages that is normal to know in Luxembourg, I kind of lost my hopes. But nonetheless, I tried to get into this corporate world of Luxembourg, and I failed. I mean, I had some projects, but it was never something that I really was passionate about. It was just about I need to settle in this country where I move. Yeah, I just need a job. Yeah. So I did a lot of things.
You mentioned the word failed, and it's something I try to remove from everybody's vocabulary, because we don't fail. We try something and it's not for us.
Yeah.
That's actually right. I tried a lot, and I'm now that I found myself, I found my passion, I launched this baby of mine, and I enjoy every minute of this journey. Now I think that it was not failure. I'm still in my 20s, and I tried so many different things, and I have now experience that not many people have, because many people come here for work, they already are settled. And I came here for my husband, who was settled and who's the representative of this corporate world. He's a software developer. So we're kind of from parallel worlds. And at some point I realized that I don't even want to step into this world. I don't belong there. I'm an artist. I cannot fit in. And I realized that, I better try to do something myself. And I started to learn how it works, what authorizations I need. I think House of Entrepreneurship helped me a lot, because I felt really lost. I felt like an imposter. What am I even doing? What company? What business?
Yeah, this is a feeling that many people have. So you found resources through House of Entrepreneurship.
I think so. I found this guidance. This course for launching your business. It's called Bloom, and I always visited networking events there. Mm-hmm. Everything I could reach just to get more knowledge, more facts, details, everything that I could use to my advantage.
Very nice, very nice. That's very interesting. And I think a very contemporary way of somebody who arrives in Luxembourg and needs to have a reference point of a jumping start. Very nice. And Chanel, can you maybe tell us a little bit about how you approach getting these certifications? Because I think also with holistic enterprises, there is sometimes the stigma behind, why didn't you just do medicine? And I'm asking you this question not to offend you, but just because it's a stigma that I know some people have.
Yes, no, indeed. I was also questioning when I started, how do I start? Because my background, I have a bachelor in spedition, which is in Danish. I graduated in Denmark, got my bachelor, and I was in the logistic world for 25 plus years. Of course, holistic, and what is holistic anyway? Because I have, I'm still so curious, and I can't figure out what course to take next because it's all so very interesting. And of course, I want to broaden my knowledge about it all and give it to the clients coming. So I adventured out for my own personal growth, which Maria also have, you know, stated that you were on that path as well. We are calling it personal growth because you're not failing, as Amanda beautiful said. We grow with the challenges. And I went in to do meditation. So I was looking into the University of Trier, and there was an external course outside the university, which I took. And they focus on autogenous training. And that's how I came across for at autogenous training for the first time and meditation. I took the qualification as well as for my own being, but I did. I got a diploma for qualifying to teach autogenous training at the same time. And that led me, because it was working so well with me, that led me to want to reach out to parents, really parents with neurodivergent children, where I knew that there's coming a point in time you just can't see the light in the tunnel and you need help.
Yeah.
Whatever help it is, it could be reaching out to professional help for your children or just work for yourself. So I started the business, and as Amanda clearly also said, I was so passionate about it that I didn't even think of the hurdles I might have getting this business on board or even put on two legs.
All of you are saying is that you're not working 9 to 5 anymore, but I think you're working a lot more for your business.
Yes,
and how it works.
Yes, we do. And we do a lot for free as well. A lot of volunteers, but also, for me, it's practicing. As much as I can practice on clients, the better my business will also be.
So continued education and continued growth.
Yes, so I continue education. So I found teachers. So I stepped into Tibetan philosophy, where they are also giving guidance in psychology, Tibetan psychology, but it really resonates with my doing. So I take a lot of courses in the temple. I do a retreat every year.
Very good. Very good. So people can find the resources.
They can indeed find the resources.
And Amanda, back to you. Can you give us some examples about what type of high conflict separations do people experience that you can help them with? What does that mean? Because I think to everybody, it could mean something different. Is it from a partner? Is it from a friend? Is it from a job?
It's everything, indeed. And I think it's quite, how can I say this? It's a journey. So if somebody comes to me with a problem, it could be that they are finding that they're having very few boundaries in their workplace, or that they have a block that they know about, but they're not sure where the block comes from. And you can always, after a couple of sessions, people start to open up more, and you can see the patterns arising and coming through. And these are, for example, with your parents, quite often it's with your parents, but also with your partner that you've mm-hmm. recently separated from. But what happens is we evolve through life, we get married, we have children, we may have a bad boss, a bad colleague or a bad partner, and we overcome it. And then you come to the next situation and something happens and you're like, maybe I haven't completely healed. Mm-hmm. And what you're noticing is that you're repeating a pattern which isn't serving you, which is quite often boundaries. And we're talking about boundaries, but it could be, there's so many boundaries. There's physical boundaries, there's emotional boundaries, there's digital boundaries. And so all of those things, and you'll find yourself quite often saying yes to somebody mm-hmm. when you should be saying no. And for a lot of my clients, saying no is effective. They don't want to say no. So we work around using their vocabulary, their upbringing. Let's, you know, this is how I would approach it. Here's five other scenarios. This is the essence of what we're trying to say. And go home and practice them how mm-hmm. you would say no without saying no.
Yeah.
But it's quite often something triggers them that they've not healed before that's causing them now to have an issue, which is quite often around boundaries.
And as you said, I think trigger is an important word here, that normally you don't come to this realization without something happening, exactly. like a big event. Mm-hmm. And this would perhaps give you the courage to seek out support yeah. from a professional like
yes,
you.
Yes, indeed. It's quite often, you know, some people have, say, I've got a really bad boss at work, I'm leaving that company, I'm going somewhere else. They go somewhere else and they go, I've got another bad boss. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps you're reacting to them and not responding to them, because mm-hmm. we should always try and respond to people and not react. But yeah. in this fast-paced world, everybody wants a reaction immediately, and that's perhaps not the best thing.
I agree. Something else I noticed when I look through your business, resilience seems to be one of the keywords. Why?
Life is hard for everybody, and don't think that we have our children, we have our babies, and we go, oh, life's going to be wonderful for this child. Look, I love it so much. I'm going to protect it forever. But that's just unrealistic mm-hmm. in the world. And we are all going to face issues. Nobody on this earth has an unscathed life. Nobody.
No.
Nevertheless, we are, perhaps some of us are more equipped than others to deal with it. And there's no right or wrong in this situation. And it's a very, you know, it's so multifaceted and layered. You can't give just a one-size-fits-all solution to everybody.
No, you cannot.
People come from different backgrounds. They've travelled to different places. They have different societies' beliefs. They have different religious beliefs, family beliefs. And then you're at school, etc. And it's so complex. And you are going to face challenges. And so it's okay. It's absolutely fine that you do go through these challenges. And sometimes you just need somebody else to hold your hand and say, you've got this. Let's just do yeah. a little bit of reprogramming and you're going to be fine.
Very good. Thank you so much for elaborating on this and really putting it into words what some people often don't notice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Maria, I want to ask you, we talked a lot about kids, but you also do workshop for adults. How, in your opinion, does connecting with your inner child reduce stress? Because it could be something that we see a lot on Instagram. Oh, healing my inner child. My inner child is happy. So how did you come to this concept? And how, in your opinion, does it, in fact, reduce stress through art?
So what I notice a lot in Luxembourg is that people come here to work, and they really spend a lot of effort, a lot of time to stay here, to have a good life for them, for their families, for their children. It's a lot of burdens, a lot
pressure.
Of stress, a lot of pressure. And that becomes normal also. So it's kind of normal to say that you stayed at work until night, that you didn't have a weekend. The only like energy you have left by the end of the week is just go somewhere, have a glass of wine.
Yeah.
And
And people, if I'm not mistaken, sometimes they even say it with pride, like, oh my God, I worked all weekend long. I pulled an all-nighter. So I think it's very accepted nowadays for stress to be your normal state.
Right. And we don't do much about it. And I was kind of frightened because it's not sustainable. We cannot survive as a society if we have these norms, this Western productivity, worshipping
culture, yeah.
So I realized that we have we have some art schools, but I was giving like private art classes, but it was not enough for me because I'm very invested in mental health topics, in regulating your nervous system. So I wanted to focus more not on the art, as if like come to us and learn some art techniques, but as art as a way to channel all your pent-up energy, pent-up emotions, just also a tool to stay in the present. So we combine this art movement and mindfulness activity in the way that we create this super chill atmosphere, a chill ambience where you come, you do something with your hands, not for the purpose of the result, but for the sole purpose of fun. Yeah. That's how you connect to your inner child, because that's what children do, and that's what children in Luxembourg don't do that much, from what I see, because they go at 4 years old, they go to school, and then they have a lot of evaluation, a lot of extracurriculum activities, a lot of hustle and bustle, but not much time to just do something what they want.
Just to elaborate on Maria's on the nervous system, because autogenous training stimulates the nervous system, and there's two main branches of the nervous system. There's the parasympathetic and the sympathetic, and because we are, you know, it's the norm, as I just hear in the round, that we are working from, you know, over the weekend, and it's almost, you know, a brag that we are working those long hours. And when I see my clients, you know, they're on the brink of burnout, and there's no wonder, because it is a busy life. And when we have, you know, the corporate expectation on top of it, there's no wonder we have a burnout. But coming back to the nervous system, so most of the people are living out of the sympathetic, and the sympathetic is basically the fight and flight mechanism in our body. So, you know, we shouldn't be surprised when we one day have chronic diseases or illnesses like chronic anxiety, migraines, even down to cancer. That's really what comes out if we can't regulate our nervous system.
What is the dream for the next step? And let's start with you, Amanda.
So I want to spread my message to the world far and wide that no matter what you've experienced in your life, you can most definitely start again, start afresh, and reach something higher than you've ever reached before. And I would like to, I do pro bono for students as well that are in high conflict relationships. And I think that's really important that you can start younger and not repeat, as when you get to understand mindfulness and relaxation techniques. I think it's super important you learn them very early on in your life, because they are tools that you can carry forward no matter what happens.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And I think it's wonderful, especially what you're saying, that you offer pro bono for students, because often, sometimes, if they want to seek help, they don't have money to pay. I mean, I didn't have money as a teenager to pay for if I wanted therapy or something else. And then it's very much dependent if your parents believe in that. So we're definitely going to link down below for how people can reach you. Yeah, okay. Chanel, what about you? What is the next step in your business?
The next step in my business is to gather more clients, because I also really would like to see that it, autogenous training especially, because it's an easy mechanism and technique to learn. It's kind of riding your bicycle. You will never relearn it once you have it as a tool. I mean, I would really like to see especially teenagers starting as early as possible to get this tool, because even if, yes, a tool, it, the practice needs to be practiced. We can't run a marathon if we don't practice for it. So it needs to be practiced daily to see any benefits from it. However, even if you get the tool as a teenager, you would not relearn, you would never forget it, meaning that if you don't practice, let's say, in the next 5 years or so or longer, you can take it up when you need it.
Yeah.
So life is
it's
not...
It's a tool. It's really a tool
it
you can use.
It is a tool you have in your baggage, exactly. Yeah. And you, you cannot lose it. Mm-hmm. So that's really my step forward to make the awareness through workshops, through podcasts like this today, just to make aware that holistic approaches, no matter what it is scientifically proven to be successful.
Thank you very much. And now to our youngest entrepreneur, Maria, you started last year, so there is still, I'm sure, a very big journey in front of you. What is the next step? Not the ultimate goal, but the next step.
Next step. There are so many steps. I started this year. It's not even like...
Oh, not even last year. Okay, all right.
Yes, so I'm very grateful that I do it with my bestie and my partner, Amina. She's a special educator. She's on her final year of university, and I'm studying now also art therapy. So mm-hmm. I think in a year we want to reapproach maybe a bit our program to make it more therapeutic. Mm-hmm. Now it's more like animation, just the perfect way to spend your weekend or your after work activities. So, well, the next step, it's more difficult than the ultimate goal, I think, because the ultimate goal, that's, I think, it's to build this community, to beat this stereotype that corporate people have, most of them, and I'm not creative. No, mm-hmm. it's not for me. My husband told me that when I dragged him to my liquid acrylics workshop, I was like, you don't have to have skills to do creative things, but this creative, mindful art, all creative activities, they help you to express yourself, to reconnect with yourself, and to beat this vicious circle of stress, loneliness, fear of judgment mm-hmm. that just like consumes all your energy. So yeah, I think the next step will be to gather this community of kids who come to our place to also learn something about their emotions, which I lacked when I was a child raised by parents who was born in USSR. You can imagine the problem of mental health problems. They don't exist. So
there is no mental health. What is mental health?
Just go change activity. Yeah. That's the best leisure. That's what they told me.
And how did your husband become an artist, from what I understand?
He's on his way.
He's on his way.
I'm impressed, actually, by what he does, how he approaches all the creative activities. And I think he flourishes now more and more in that
very good
field.
Thank you all very much for your insights and really showing this new world of possibilities. And before we wrap up, I want to ask you about your experience in participating in the Small Business Summit, because now the three of you are a small community, in fact, but we saw how many others there are out there. So how was this experience for you? What did you take away from it?
I'm really impressed. I was quite nervous to begin with, but because it's a small community, as you say, it's very relaxing and very rewarding for me, because we can reach a broader audience like this. And I think especially in Luxembourg, from the point of view of being a holistic therapist, I think just to get this approach out there is very important, because as we see, Maria is doing the same for mental health, so is Amanda. I think people should not be so afraid. They should be more open-minded and mm-hmm. curious. And I think with this podcast, we can really reach an audience maybe we couldn't have reached without it. So
very
thank
good.
You very much.
Thank you for being here.
I think it's wonderful, this type of collaboration. And I'm already thinking in my head for my entrepreneur journey, like what's next, because I'm going to be meeting these ladies again for sure. And I think this is what we need, because we can collaborate. We're not against each other. We complement each other. And I feel that when we collaborate together, we as women can rise super quickly, super collaboratively, and everybody gains from that.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. It's great to have you on board.
Thank you.
How about you, Maria? First experience with this?
I was super nervous, honestly, but in the same time, very excited, and I'm super grateful, Stena. Thank you so much.
Of course.
And I'm honored to be in the same panel with such more experienced ladies, and I feel very empowered that, yeah, I'm doing it because it's my passion, and I know that it will help people, so why not? And I want us all to dare, to collaborate, and to just don't think about the competition, but think about in terms of collaboration, what can we do together, or not how we can compete and prove something to each other.
Very good. Thank you so much. I wish you all continued success. Our listeners will have plenty of options on how to reach out to you. And I wish you all happy holidays.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. See you next week on Open Mic Live.